Hey, thanks for tuning in to this episode of R&R's Ask the Expert. I'm your host, Valerie King, R&R's Editor-in-Chief, and I'm joined today by the Gordie Powell, co-owner and senior partner of Georgia Clean & Associates in Atlanta, and co-founder and president of the Georgia Bio Recovery Association. Gordie is a renowned industry steward for education, betterment, and ethics in biorecovery, crime, trauma, and death scene cleaning. Gordie's been practicing in this space since 1996 and is co-author of the Georgia bill that was signed into law August 4th, 2020, officially regulating the industry in Georgia. Big deal. So today we're going to talk about the work Gordie has done, is doing, and has planned for the forensic restoration space, including an upcoming training opportunity on invoicing for trauma cleaning. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Gordie.
Thank you, Valerie. And I think I'm going to change my business cards because I've been introduced too often as the Gordie Powell. So if there's any other imposters, God bless them.
Too funny. All right, let's start with your journey in the restoration industry. What is the story behind you and Georgia Clean & Associates, which, like I said, was founded in 1996? Can you talk about that evolution and what the business does today?
My career started with a sales pitch and a grand lie. And I used to work for Federated Department Stores years ago. I was a store detective. Store manager came down. He was very involved with what he called guests, our customers and our clients in the store. And he says, I want somebody in this security department to learn first aid. That way, if somebody gets hurt in our store, we can render first aid as the ambulance is on the way. So later on that day after lunch, I went to the store manager's office. And I said, Bill, I got an idea. What if somebody in the security department, here I'm pitching myself, learns to be an EMT? That way you got ambulatory care in the store as the ambulance is on the way. Bill said, well, I've got a meeting with the sales managers next week. Let me get back with you. He came back about 10 days later. He says, they want to send you to school to be an EMT. And so I was like, great. This is what I've always wanted to do. Now I don't have to pay for it. So that's the great sales pitch. And so about 6 weeks into the course, the instructor says, we're not having class tonight. We're just going to sit down and discuss different situations you might find yourself walking into. Because he says, sometimes if you know ahead of time, it mentally prepares you of what you're going into. That way it's not such a shock and awe for the EMT. So he goes into car wrecks, suicides, severed limbs, decapitations and accidents. And he gets to a scene where he talks about murder-suicide. He says, now an ambulance is always dispatched to murder-suicide because sometimes there's a survivor. And he said, but if you arrive at the scene and both parties are expired, it's a courtesy for this ambulance service to transport the other body for the medical examiner or the coroner at no cost. So my mom, who always instilled us that there's no such thing as a dumb question, I raised my hand and I go, well, is there like a crash kit on board that we use to clean up the mess with so the family doesn't have to see it? I said, don't worry about that, Gordie. That's the family's problem. It's not for us to worry about. And I'm like, so if their 16-year-old son takes his head off with a shotgun, we remove the main torso, and that's it. And we leave basically the hair, teeth, and eyeballs inside the room. He says, this is the way it is. And so later on that evening, Sheila, we're married now, we're dating back then, and I was telling her about it. And she says, you know, there might be a business in that. And so it went to the back burner. We'd all with our courtship, got married about a year and a half, 2 years later. And we're watching TV at times at home saying, you know, watching the news. I wonder what's going on behind the scene. And so one day we find both ourselves getting home at lunchtime early from work. And we're watching tabloid TV. And there's a grandmother in Southern California has a crime scene cleanup business, and they called her the cookie lady because she took cookies to the detectives and did a profile on her. And I said, honey, said, we've talked about that. I'm going to do it. And about 10 days, 2 weeks goes by, and I come home, and she says, what have you found out? Well, here comes a great lie. I told her, oh, I found out this, and that. And I felt bad. I called the Fred Flintstone answer. And so I followed up on this, and that, and here we are just a little over 25 years later.
What a great story. And so rooted in you taking initiative and And as you said, asking the dumb question, which so often, and in that case, turned out not to be such a dumb question.
No. And, you know, I believe the work finds you. You don't seek it out. And that wasn't long ago. I'm thinking, God, there's so many times I could have died in this wreck and that incident and, you know, the elevator falling behind my back. And I was, you know, I believe we're here for a reason and a purpose. And, you know, which is what I tell families, you know, we're dealing with, you know, young suicides. And I said, not to take away from the tragedy, but my little brother, when he was in elementary school, lost a friend to an illness. And so we went to the service and the priest delivered this letter in front of everybody. He said, this is a letter delivered from Jacob's friend in school. And it was dropped off in the mailbox for the family. And all it said was, you know, I think we're all here for a reason. Jacob just got his purpose for the rest of ours did, the rest of we did. And so, you know, I like to share that message with families with young losses. And so, yeah.
Thank you for that. All right. So let's take an even wider view and talk more recently. So in 2020, you co-founded Georgia Bio Recovery Association, which you're currently president of. What does this organization do and how did it come to be?
The BioPTO is a professional trade organization, and it was put together as a legislative organization. And what that meant is that we had to take in donations. If the businesses wanted to contribute to the funding of the bill, it would kind of launder the money in a way to where it was going to a nonprofit association. It's a tax write-off, but we're paying our lawyer, our lobbyist to run this bill for us, which was a big shock factor for us because, you know, when you go and see all the education films on TV and YouTube, you think it's a free process. It's not. This ended up being a $100,000 process to push this bill through, and we're still paying for it. And so after the bill was passed, we were told by our lobbyist, our attorney, he says the state wants you to start a trade association. So we had to close down the BioPTO, and we rebooted it as the Georgia Bio Recovery Association. And so what was great about that is that the Secretary of State, which is now in charge of licensing trauma service providers, they would list who's registered or licensed in each county in the state, but they would not leave contact information. So what they wanted to do was do a hot link to Cleaner 911, which is a state directory. And so the Georgia Bio Recovery Association oversees the state directory, and it's ended up being a great thing.
Wow. Wait, so can you elaborate a little bit on what you mean by the state directory?
Yes, the state came together and they're not to promote a particular business, but they can promote a service. So with the Georgia Bio Recovery Association being a service and a nonprofit organization, it was a perfect dovetail tier to put together with Secretary of State's office. So somebody can, Cleaner 911 promoted with the funeral directors, the coroners, and medical examiners here in our state, to where an officer at a scene can say, you can go to cleaner911.org and you pull up and you put down either what zip code you're in or what county you're in or what city. And it will pull up all the local service providers in that area to assist you with the cleanup of the trauma scene.
Wow. Thank you for that. All right. So more about this bill, which, as I mentioned, August 4th, 2020, the state of Georgia signed that bill in its House Bill 417. Yes. And it regulates the crime, trauma, and death scene cleaning industry, if I have that correct. You co-authored this bill. So more on that, what does this new law do and who is it aimed at?
Well, when we first started off this bill, it was 28 pages. And by the time it went through the political machine and different lobbyists, different organizations, it got whittled down to 5 pages. Is it the perfect bill? It's far from it, but it's a foundation to build on. There's sections in there missing, like we like to see continuing education be a process to where when you renew your license every other year, yeah, you've shown you've had some continuing education, you're keeping up your do's and your don'ts and what's changed in the industry. So it's aimed to protect the consumer from predatory practices, which is what we've seen very heavily in our industry, which is bad. Years ago, we used to tell ourselves, you know, it's going to take a judge or a politician to get victimized by somebody in our services to actually put a law into place. Actually, our industry shot its own self in the foot. Back to predatory practices, companies were charging outrageous rates, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 for a suicide cleanup, which is ridiculous. And it can't be justified. People going in there, we're interested in being inside somebody's home. And law enforcement says, you know, don't go in there. You don't need to go in there. But here's a list of people. Well, you're at the scene. It's your home. You presume that's a vetted list. It's not. There's no background check whatsoever to where we've got records and incidents where companies go inside a home and take cash, take valuables, steal identity, and run with it. There'd be situations where some companies go, there's, it might be a 1 or 2 week decomposed body in the house. And everything has to go. And what they do, they clean out the house, but they don't clean everything out. You go to Facebook yard sale or Craigslist and there's all the items for sale. So predatory practices and the protection of the consumer was what was the main focus on this. Now, if you're not licensed in the state, which is easy to do, it takes about $55 for the whole process. This is, all you gotta do is go through a background check with the state police. You have to have the minimum requirements for insurance and you have to be bonded. And so if you get caught practicing, it's $5,000 incident per scene. Your business can be sanctioned as well as lose your business license through the Secretary of State's office. And so there's companies out there still not doing it the right way. Where you're set a priority or a higher tier for the services of what we do. We want to show a degree of professionalism. And that's something that has been watered down through people that don't do the proper procedures. To cut down on their costs, we've had companies take the medical waste, or what we refer to as regulated trauma waste now, and put in a black contractor bag and throw it in the landfill. And so that weighed heavily on the legislative process was being introduced, and you know, grandma's being thrown inside the landfill. There was, even though it goes to an autoclave, there's a process of care and concern for the trauma waste. It's not like the remains being tossed inside the trash. We had a police officer in the town next to me, and his father decomposed in the home, but the company could not get rid of the odor. So he called my company up. We went and looked at it, and sitting on the curb were 5 boxes of trauma waste. They're properly marked, properly labeled, except they're on the curb. And he says, Mr. Powell, he says, I'm a police officer in this town, and I know that's my dad inside those boxes. He says, it just bothers me that nothing's been done with them yet. And they told me that somebody was supposed to have been here yesterday to pick them up. We took them for him. I wanted to have, you know, to sleep, not worry about that. So that's the process where we're at now. We got a foundation to grow on. And so we're at that stage right now. We'll probably either next year, the year after, just introduce some housekeeping issues with the bill.
Has a law like this gone into effect before?
No, not to regulate the industry. There are states that have done great work. Louisiana's got a bill or law. California's got one. New York's got one, to where it regulates the medical waste from point A to point B to point C. But there has not been a regulation yet to regulate the industry itself. And that's what Georgia's done, to where we've seen so many, I hate to say there's not been like an overwhelming, but there's been enough bad cases to where it raised a concern for lawmakers here to actually put that law into place. It was about a 4-year battle to do.
Wow. So what are the penalties for those who do break this new law?
Well, there's a $5,000 fine per incident. There's, you can have your business sanctioned. You can lose your business license. There's also, on the last section of the law, this helps the insurance industry, to where if insurance carrier, Acme Insurance Company says, okay, I've got your invoice. Everything looks great. We got no differences in prices or line items. Send me your state license to practice trauma scene cleanup, and we'll put this check right in the mail. What do you mean we have to have a license? Well, you don't have a license in the state of Georgia? No. So what this does is this gives the insurance company the right to deny the claim, but it also protects the homeowner, the estate, and the property from being levied, bill collector, or leaned on. So this protects the consumer.
Very good. So your role as co-author, what was that like? What work went into that, and what other notable stakeholders were involved with that process?
We had a good group of companies that met to launch this off. And we all stayed together for about the first 2 months. But then when the initial language of the bill took impact, they all disappeared. And what the odd thing is that when we put in that there's going to be fingerprinting and background checks is where things started falling apart. It's where the wheels fell off the car in the process. And so my business partner, Doug Cunningham, and myself just carried the process all the way through. And my company, George Clean, has been the one that's been paying the monthly payments on this bill.
Okay. Now, are there any updates on the impact of the law almost a year later? Is it doing what you hoped it would? Is it too early to tell? Are there any other states following suit? Are industry peers taking note? What's your take on its impact so far?
It's too early for the law to take any kind of effect. The reason being is that because of the wonderful election cycle that we went through this, last president and our Secretary of State being the spotlight on the whole country, when our bill was supposed to be being pushed through and all the nuts and bolts being put in place, we got thrown on the back burner, to where the process of getting people get the application in place, getting people to submit their applications, go through the background checks. Yeah, the law's in place, but it will not take any effect until January 1st of this year is when they're going to start, pushing the regulations and start finding companies.
Okay, very good. So switching gears, you have mm-hmm. a new course coming up, Invoicing yes. for Trauma. That's the name, right? Invoicing for
Correct.
Trauma?
Correct, uh-huh.
All right. So I understand this is the first ever offering of this course. Is that the case?
It is. And it's kind of like lightning hitting twice in the same spot. Years ago, when I opened up my company, I didn't pull numbers out of the air. I actually sat down, figured out what my true raw cost was, what a decent profit margin was. And I was, at the same time, there's new companies opening up, which is great. For example, I guess back then my rates were like $155 per labor hour. And insurance adjuster would go, hey, this company over this side of town said they do it for $35 an hour. Just trying to, cut down my rates. And I was trying to educate the adjuster, but all he's concerned about is lowering the total amount of the bill. So I made my price schedule public back then, to where everybody saw what I was charging. And the scenario was, and it worked, is that, hey, if Gordy can charge $155 an hour, why can't we? And that's what happened. So I was getting a lot less pushback from insurance adjusters. Well, it started all over again. And it seems like within the past 2-3 years, adjusters have really taken action against the crime, trauma, and it seems like insurance adjusters have really taken an interest in cutting down and picking apart the crime, trauma, and death scene cleaning industry. And so this angered me again, because there's a lot of us doing it right, but I do peer reviews as well. No, not a whole lot, but I've done enough of them over the years to where I see what the problem is. Adjusters are accustomed to Xactimate. They're accustomed to a single fluid verbiage, and as long as they see that, they're happy. With the crime, trauma, and death scene cleaning industry, everybody's choosing their own line item verbiage. And so this is part of the problem, is that there's not a common core in our industry. So I've had great success at building our single line items. We don't use Xactimate. I use a separate invoicing program to where we build it ourselves. And each line item justifies, and you know, third party, why that rate is what it is. For example, when it comes to regulated trauma waste, there's 6 to 7 line items alone that you can charge for picking up and generating trauma waste. And a lot of the invoices I see have 1 or 2, maybe 3. And if we all get on the same harmonious hymnal page, and adjusters are seeing the same verbiage from other companies across the country, I believe we can make a positive change again for the industry. And because it's been said in the restoration industry that the word fracture has been used. I believe the trauma industry is fractured at this point, just with the invoicing. I don't believe it's broke by no means, but fractured is a great term. And I think we can put this in a splint and move forward and make our industry stronger.
Okay. I'm curious, what kind of work went into just your business and you establishing this set of standards for yourself and then sharing it publicly? Like, was this something that you kind of worked on over the years and kept building on? Or was it like a set project at a set time that you just poured yourself into? Just curious, like the kind of hours and effort that went into doing this.
Well, when I was doing peer reviews, we had a company called Red Flag Claims, and that handled all the peer reviews. And so we had a good relationship with State Farm, Travelers, USAA, Allstate, to where if they had an issue with an invoice, they would send it to us. And I handled it differently, to where I just didn't say, well, we could have done it for that. No. I would look at all the documentation. I look at the photos, the field reports, the line items. I would call the company up, and I would get their input on what took place at the scene. And there's were times that I called adjusters and said, you just don't know the whole story. Once everybody's interviewed, sometimes I reach out to the family if they put in a grievance, and I would take what they would say into the process. So, I didn't find this that found me, to where I had all the language, I had all the paperwork, I knew what was going on. And over the past couple of years, while I've seen the insurance industry beating up our industry, it pissed me off. And so all ships rise with the tide. And, this is one of those forms of information I just happen to have that I believe is good to share.
Very cool. Yeah, as you talked about sharing that information initially, I thought, wow, I'm sure some people would be a bit nervous about doing it. And you've made so many strides and so much progress within the industry in doing it. Were you a bit nervous before you initially said, all right, here we go, I'm sharing this all with the world? Or was there no second thought?
Well, going back some 23 years, when I first shared the price schedule, my peers, because I was a member of the American Body Recovery Association even back then, to where some of my peers in that group said, no, don't do it. You're going to shoot yourself in the foot. And I said, I don't think it's going to happen. And it worked out like I wanted it to. And I think this is going to happen again. Sometimes sharing information is a good thing. Yeah, is it something I sat back and thought about, I really need to do this? Yeah, I gave some consideration, but everything came out in a positive manner, and I believe this will too. And I'm not taking no money for this. We're charging $500 a head to take the course, and what the money goes to, it goes to the lobbyists to pay down on our bill here in Georgia. So with it being built through the Georgia Buyer Recovery Association, a nonprofit, it's a tax write-off for those attending the class. And I can guarantee a return on investment on their first invoice. I've seen that many errors on. Is it a perfect scenario? No. Can we improve on it? Always. I'm always a student. We're always learning. And so I guarantee you when I'm putting on this course on March 4th, that I'm going to learn something that I can incorporate in what I'm putting out.
Thank you for that. All right. So March 4th, you said, March 4th, 2022 is when this initial course, Invoicing for Trauma, will take place. Where will it take place?
It'll take place at EMTA in Marietta. That's Mark Cuneus' classroom. It's going to be taught in person. It's going to be taught via Zoom. And it's just not invoicing we're honing into. I'm going to go into types of contracts you should be using. Who should you be invoicing? There's companies out there still invoicing the insurance company. No, the insurance company is not your client. And so there's little mistakes. And I think we can put Band-Aids on all these. This is going to help the industry as a whole. So, yes, it's going to be March 4th, a Friday, via Zoom, live. We're going to be covering contract as well as invoicing. We're going to have some guest speakers there as well. So it's going to be a phenomenal learning experience, I promise you.
Awesome. For those listening, who would you say this course is targeted to? Who would be the best candidates for attending it?
Anybody providing crime, trauma, and death scene cleaning services, whether you're a big box store like Service Master, ServPro, Rainbow, Steamatic, or whether you just solely do trauma cleanup for your business. Anybody that provides this service can benefit from it.
Very good. Where can viewers and listeners go to learn more about the course and to sign up for it?
You go to GordyPowell.com, and there's a tab for Invoicing for Trauma, the course. And I need to update the new PDF file in there for the new dates, but that's where you sign up and register for the course. And those that have been registered with the course and got put back because of the move, I'm not making them suffer for the wait. I'm helping them immediately to where, hey, you have an invoice in question, let me help you provide leverage with the adjuster. So for those that have signed up are benefiting for the wait.
That's great to know. All right, before we go, keeping with the topic of education, what would you say your advice is to those who are new to forensic restoration or considering adding it to their services?
Take an IICRC course. Take the American Buyer Recovery Association course. Hands-on training is the best. I know we're in this new field of a lot of Zoom classes, which are great because, it's better than an online course. At least you got an instructor you can talk to that's live. But again, take the American Buyer Recovery Association or the IICRC course, and this is a good place to start. There's been people that have taken these courses that have been like, that's the best $1,500 I ever spent to know what I don't want to do. And there's been those that have moved forward from it. So yeah, take a class.
All right, Gordy, before we go, is there anything I didn't ask you about that you'd like to add?
Yes, I've been teasing people across the industry for about the past 8 weeks that there's a new tier to our services. There's a way to break down that marketing wall. There's a way to get phone calls to come your way. And I can't wait to announce it and share it to the world. What I have shared is that anybody that's taken this course is going to get about a 4 to 6 week head start on what this information is, to where they can start putting the wheels to work in their organization. My biggest disappointment, I didn't think about this years ago. And it's going to be I get told that some ideas are like spaghetti sticking to the wall, and this one is stuck real good. We've set out some trial balloons, and the reviews back have been phenomenal. So we're excited to introduce it.
Very cool. This has me at the edge of my seat. So R&R will be monitoring and stay tuned, world, also for us to cover this when it comes to be in the spring of 2022. Thanks for that heads up, Gordy, that there is exciting stuff to come on your end.
Anytime, Valerie.
Absolutely. Well, thank you overall for joining me, for your time and insight. Great interview. Learned a ton about, you know, bringing the industry together, setting standards, and elevating the services offered to the people at the end of this.
All ships rise with the tide. They do.
Thank you. Well, before we go, where can listeners go to connect with you or learn more about Georgia Clean Associates or Georgia BioRecovery Association?
To learn more about the Georgia BioRecovery Association, you can go to the Georgia State Directory, which is cleaner911.org. Of course, we're georgiaclean.com. But to find out more about myself or more about the courses coming up, visit gordypowell.com and look for the tab that says Invoicing for Trauma.
Very good. Well said. All right. Thank you again, listeners.
Thank you, Valerie.
Oh, yes. My pleasure. Listeners and viewers, for more insights on restoration, remediation, and the people behind it all, visit our website, rmagonline.com, Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. If you haven't yet, be sure to follow the podcast to keep up with our latest episodes, and please give us a quick review and rating. We're also on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, so we invite you to follow us there too. This has been R&R's Ask the Expert. Thank you, as always, for listening.